Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Fleet Foxes released its new album on the exact minute of the autumnal equinox, 9:31 a.m. Eastern Time on September 22nd. We can ask Robin Pecknold why in just a few minutes. Shore is the band's first new work in 3 years and its fourth studio release. It's a return to some of the band's signature sounds, including the intricate harmonies and songwriting that made their self-titled debut a standout in 2008 when Pitchfork named it Album of the Year. It's been more than a decade since then, and in that time, the music has matured along with its members. Frontman Robin Pecknold notably took a break from the industry, moved to the East Village, decided to turn to education, taking classes in art history and literature at Columbia, before a 2017 return with the album Crack Up. In his writing and vocals, Pecknold draws from the rich tradition of singer-songwriters like John Prine, Bill Withers, and Elliott Smith, who he names in the new album's track Sunblind.
For Richard Swift, for John and Bill, for every gift lifted far before its will. Judy and Smith, for Berman too, I've met the myth hanging heavy over you. I loved you long. To go beneath these songs, perfect angels in the snow. So time the stage, forget razor, the type of great coronation you deserve. I'm going out for a weekend. I'm gonna borrow a Martin or get some.
Shore was described by Pitchfork editor Matthew Strauss as, quote, an album that is musically adventurous and spiritually forgiving, like it's constantly breathing in fresh air. Joining me now for an All of It listening party is Fleet Foxes' Robin Pecknold. Robin, welcome to All of It. Nice to meet you.
Hi, you too. I'm so happy to be here on this beautiful New York fall day.
October's the best, isn't it?
It's the best month, definitely. I agree.
In that song, Sunblind, we hear a list of some of the great song craftsmen like John Prine and Bill Withers, both of whom passed this year, like within a month of each other. And then after that, you sing about grabbing a Gibson or Martin guitar. What inspired you to write a song about songwriters?
I mean, it's always there in music. You know, you have your heroes that are informing what you're making, and you're, you know, kind of carrying their memories forward, whether you're, referencing them or not. And I guess I just felt like, you know, we were losing so many people, and even, you know, close friends and people that were important to me in my community, and obviously heroes I had that, you know, I felt like I didn't want this record to be as much about kind of me and my, you know, the ups and downs of my emotional life or something. I just wanted it to be for the people that I love and for, you know, artists that I loved, and just kind of celebrate them in this kind of joyous way and kind of, I don't know, carry their memories on in just more explicitly. You know, that was just feeling really natural. I didn't have any hang-ups about approaching it that way, you know.
In that same song, you sing the lyric, I'm going out for a weekend. In an interview, you've described writing the songs for this album while road tripping earlier in the summer. How did the road trip come about?
Well, I'd been in, you know, in my apartment in Greenwich Village for 3 months, and then I had a car here, actually, and I just started taking these drives in June once the weather was getting better, and I'd just drive up to Lake Minnewaska and then make that loop around, you know, to the south side of the Catskills and then back around, you know, the other way, and just make these kind of 8-hour loops out of, and just did that day after day after day. And I guess just getting that space and being in nature again a little bit, even though I was, you know, kind of quarantined in my car, pulling over to the side of the road, jotting lyrics down. And I don't know, it just opened up a part of my brain that had been locked up, I think. You know, and it was just all, I had the music pretty much mapped out back in February before lockdown, but then I had no lyrics for it. I made a huge mistake of not finishing any words, not even really starting any. And then in June, on those drives up to Minnewaska, it all just kind of unlocked, and I wasn't really expecting that to happen. And once it was happening, then I knew we could get it out for the equinox, and I was, you know, kind of overjoyed for that prospect. So I just kept working really hard and made it happen.
I know this is going to sound a little woo-woo, but go with me. I think there's something special about that part of the country, the Catskills, for mm-hmm. creative people. I don't know what it is, but I think there's something up there.
For sure. I would drive by, like, Philip Guston's house on Maverick Road, you know, mm-hmm. up in that Woodstock zone. And by that Maverick's concert hall, I would kind of drive, you know, end up there and then pull into that parking lot just looking at that beautiful old, you know, wooden building that's so unlikely, and just think about, you know, playing there or something, and just kind of absorbing some of that history. And then Minnewaska especially is such a I'm from Seattle, so it really reminds me of the Northwest, kind of like clean, semi-alpine almost, you know, pine trees and clean water.
My guest is Robin Pecknold. We're talking about Fleet Foxes' new album, Sure. Now, the production liner notes are really interesting because, according to the liner notes, this was recorded in Long Pond, Columbia County in September 2019, and then in Paris in October 2019, and then in L.A. November 19th to 2019 to 2020, and then you see a break, and then the Diamond Mine out in Long Island, July to August, and then Electric Lady Studios in the Village in August 2020. Yeah. All right, so what was it like to record, I call it the before times, before March 2020, and then after March 2020?
It could not have been more different. I mean, I'm so glad that we were working a pretty small team, so it was actually fairly cost effective to go to these studios and kind of, places that I always want to work at that either had, you know, great recording equipment or wonderful, like, instrument collections. Like, the place in L.A. just has, you know, the most incredible collection of rare instruments. And so, in the before times, it's kind of easy to just fly around and go somewhere for 2 weeks and get a bunch of tracking done and kind of, like, you know, fulfill that dream. And then I'm really glad that I didn't put that off until this year, obviously, because it's a bit like going on filming a movie on location or something. You know, you go to these different places that have access to these different sounds or these different people that are there to record, and then kind of finish the album sitting in my car, which is a huge contrast to the way it was before. But then we were so lucky that Lee at Electric Lady opened his doors to us, and Homer at the Diamond Mine in Long Island City opened their doors to us, and we had this space to kind of in New York to finish it over the summer. But it was different because the studios had new protocols as far as social distancing, which we obviously complied with, but there was also kind of a generous spirit in the air, I think, in terms of being in the city at that time, and in terms of, you know, everyone that was here was feeling a little closer to each other. I was feeling like that, and I was making mm-hmm. new friends, I'm really glad that it worked out that way, just on the recording side.
Let's listen to some more music. I want to play a track called Waiting in Waist High Water with this just astoundingly lovely vocalist. I'm going to let you say her name.
Uwadi Akere.
Uwadi Akere. Let's take a listen and we can talk about Uwadi Akere on the other side. This is Waiting in Waist High Water from Fleet Foxes.
Summer all over, weekend in August water, no sight in morning, sunlight covered over, waiting inside a fire, and we're finally aligning.
That's Waiting in Waist High Water. So she's something like 21 or 22 years old. How did you come across her?
Yeah, I mean, that was another lucky coincidence. She's a Columbia student, and a friend of mine had sent me an Instagram clip where she makes beautiful music, and on her Instagram, uade.music, she covers puts up, you know, these really beautiful covers of different people's songs. And a friend of mine a year or so ago sent me her cover of Fleet Foxes' song Mykonos, and it was, you know, better than the original to me because her voice is just so amazing, and it's just, you know, I feel like I have to use my voice in a lot of different ways across the course of an album to kind of have some variety and you know, without kind of devolving into impersonations, you know. But then just hearing her, I don't know, you know, just her voice is just so distinct and so such a beautiful texture, and so, and she sings with such confident ease, you know, that it was like that was exactly how I wanted that song to be sung. And so it worked out that when, even though she's a Columbia student, when we were in France recording, she was at Oxford, and so she took the train and met us for a day, and we were recorded with her there. And it was just, you know, I think along the same lines of wanting the record to not really be about my emotional state, more just, you know, songs for my friends or venerating people in various ways. I think I wanted another voice to open the album. That was just a thought in the back of my head, kind of just to signal that, you know, this was going to be a different album, different experience, and it would be kind of touching on different ideas. And so it was just one of those great kismet things that you know, my friend sent that along, and John Searle is the guy, the New York guy. And yeah.
As I'm reading the lyrics here on my phone, it says, summer all over, blame it on timing, weakening August water, lucide in the morning. The lyrics feel like a poem. Do you write poetry?
No, I mean, I don't know. I would like to start writing music with the lyrics first, just to see how it's different. Cause I always start with melody first. And so, you know, that creates, and the melodies end up in these kind of, you know, they're feel ironclad or something. And so that creates this almost Tetris or this kind of crossword puzzle-y aspect to lyric writing where you're just trying to fit, you know, ideas into this thing. But I really, you know, her voice being so distinct and opening the album with this kind of gentle, you know, call to attention kind of, I wanted the lyrics to be more impressionistic. And then for when my voice came in, just to be very direct, just saying for Richard Swift, for, you know, Bill Withers, for Elliott Smith, for Judy Sill, you know, just as go from kind of poetic to as direct and in the world as possible.
My guest is Robin Pecknell. We're talking about Fleet Foxes' new album, Sure. Let's take a listen to another song. The song is called Jara, and it is a nod to the Chilean folk singer Victor Jara. What's the story behind this song?
This was another one, you know, I think, I think, like in the song Sunblind, I'm just talking about these, venerating these heroes of mine that are also public figures. So they're heroes to all of us. You know, if we love their music, we learn lessons from them. And I think with Hara, it was more about kind of equating friends of mine, like saying thank you to the actual friends of mine that are really politically active. You know, finding them there. I feel like the more friends I have that are politically active, their activity keeps me really engaged. And I think that that's an important aspect, like just that's almost like peer pressure kind of aspect of activism that I think is really important. And I think, you know, so I have some friends that, you know, in my personal life, I'm like, oh, you know, Ben is my Victor Jara. You know, the way the world thinks about Victor is how I think about my friend Ben, you know. So it was kind of like pulling, you know, taking an idea from Sunblind about, you know, thanking these public figures and then tying that into how in our private lives we have people that serve those same roles, you know, but in just for us, you know, our own personal set of heroes.
What is that thing that Ben cares about so much?
What does Ben care about?
Yeah, your friend Ben, you said.
Labor.
Okay. Let's listen we'll think about Ben as we listen to Hard from Fleet Foxes. Hara from Fleet Foxes. So there's another voice in there, Mira O'Reilly, is that right?
Yeah.
And she's sort of fascinating. I went down a rabbit hole. She has a degree in sound art and psychoacoustics from Hampshire College.
She is an incredible musician, incredible musical thinker. You know, I think she, a lot of her work is, making pieces of music that kind of demonstrate psychoacoustic phenomena, or, you know, that mess with your perception of sound in a certain way, or how sound relates to your perception of, bodily perception. And she put out this really wonderful EP last year of two voice hockets where, you know, there's only ever two, it's all her vocal. There's only ever two voices happening. There's only ever two voices at once, but it often sounds like four or eight because of how either quickly they're moving between each other, or, you know, just the way the notes are interacting. And as soon as, you know, I've been friends with her for a while, but, you know, hearing her refine those ideas into that really wonderful EP, I thought it would be, I wanted this album to kind of, evoke music of the past, but also include elements that felt modern or that felt progressive. And, so asking her to add some of that amazing work, kind of pulled the songs out of certain retro pits or something. And she's a wonderful musician.
I want to play Featherweight a little bit. Let's play it, and I'll ask my question on the other side.
Okay.
All this time I've been hanging on to an edge I caught when we both were young.
Okay, so Robin, my question is, you taught this song on Instagram Live recently. When and why did you decide to give these tutorials, these guitar tutorials?
I think that people were asking, people have been asking about, it's been amazing to, the last week and a week or so, seeing people make covers of these songs already, or, get tattoos of the album art. And it's just been wonderful to, very, very amazing to watch all that stuff. And so people have been covering the songs, and there were just aspects to them where I was like, people would ask, how do you play that? What tuning is that in? And how do you play this part? And I'd be getting messages like that. So I thought it would be, some of the songs have, I think if you're like a beginning intermediate guitar player, like there are kind of interesting lessons in the way some of these songs were put together guitar wise that might trigger them to like write songs of their own or explore a new tuning or a new way of finger picking. And it's just, it's also just a cool, it's been a good way to connect at this time when it's still so, spending a lot of time in my apartment and et cetera. Yeah.
All right. I promise, since we started the interview talking about how amazing October is, I promised everybody I'd ask you, why'd you release the album on the autumnal equinox?
That was one of those things that just kind of, I think the 3 months, June, July, August, working in New York, it just felt this kind of wild. It was just a charmed time. There were just weird coincidences that were coming up in terms of, it just felt like the album was aligning in this way that I could, I almost didn't have control over in a way that I've never really experienced, And I think that I became really, emphatic that getting it out sooner than later was smart, because we didn't know what was going to happen in November, and next year is still quite uncertain to me. And then looking at it fell on the equinox. The first line of the album is "Summer all over," coincidentally. Mm-hmm. The last line of the album is "Now the quarter moon is out," coincidentally, and that was the phase the moon was entering. I sound crazy. That's the phase the moon was entering on the 23rd. So it was just one of those things where, it just felt like things were conspiring to make that inevitable or something. And then I also like that it was a Tuesday, because I'm old school and I loved when albums came out on Tuesday.
On Tuesdays, right?
and I think it was, there's also an aspect of tying it to something that isn't, no offense to the news, it's important work, but tying it to something that wasn't, that had a bit more, celestial energy, or just kind of not related to what's everything that's going on. It was just pointing to something that, that we're all experiencing, but it's kind of happening without us as well. Mm-hmm. I think tying it to that felt like calming or something. And I'm so glad that, it ended up working out that way, because I've always wanted to try it that way, and it seemed like if there was ever, the opportunity, now is a good time.
The name of the album is Sure. My guest has been Robin Pecknold of Fleet Foxes. We're going to go out on the title track. Robin, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, absolutely. It was a joy. Thank you very, very much.
There's a shore I ever seem to sail to, and I know old heaviness is shake you. Maybe I've stayed little long, could be. I needed shade, sand on my feet, and it's some new ailment is in me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.